Much. I was looking at this song while we were singing that Regions Beyond. That second verse says, to the hardest of places he calls me to go. You know, if it were my choosing, I wouldn't choose Bulgaria necessarily. I mean, it's a language, you know, that's totally foreign to me. I might choose some place I can at least speak Spanish. Not thinking of comfort or ease, the world may pronounce me a dreamer, a fool. And if they will, so be it. Enough if the master I please. You know what? When I left Gulfstream Aerospace, I was making good money, A&P mechanic, and could have stayed there. And some people would say, you ought to stay here. And, you know, what in the world are you doing going and taking your family to a foreign place like Bulgaria and leaving a good job, insurance, and all that? You know what? Brother Rudy Stembridge told me, when we were just starting out, I talked to him. We sent in our application there at Word for the World. He said, listen, the safest place to be is in the center of God's will. And I told him, I told him I was a little scared because I am. In the flesh, I'm nervous, you know, and especially starting out. But, you know, he gave me that good advice, and I know it's to be so. Let the world say what they will. If they knew the Savior we have, they might be willing to go too. But it says, but I was just thinking about those things. I thought about this verse tonight before we begin. I thought about this in Psalms chapter 40. I mean, you know the verse. You know what it says here. But I waited patiently, chapter 40, for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my going. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man, is that man, that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. And, you know, when God saves your never dying soul and gives you a hope of heaven and the forgiveness of your sin, I mean, it's just reasonable that we do whatever he'd have us do. I mean, I told you I got saved in 1996, and I told the Lord that Sunday morning. I mean, I didn't know nothing, just a newborn babe in Christ, but all my life, here I was 19 years old and was religious. I went to church, and yet I didn't have no confidence with God, didn't have no confidence about where I was going when I died. And that Sunday morning, the Lord gave me confidence. The Lord saved my soul, and he gave me peace in my heart, and that old conscience wasn't rising up no more, condemning me. I had peace for the first time. I told the Lord that Sunday morning. I was by myself in my little Toyota truck, and I told the Lord, I said, I don't care what anything in this world, I don't care if I'm ever good at anything else in this world, as long as I can be good at serving you. Listen, I ain't say I've arrived, and, you know, I got a handle on that right now, but I desire to. I tell you, I mean, God ain't never let me forget about that. I told the brethren this morning, I read that song, Follow On. We would read that song. We would sing that song time and time again in our church. And, you know, I will follow the Lord wherever he leads, down in the valley or upon the mountain steep. Close beside my Savior would my soul ever keep. And the Lord would deal with me about that song. And I would, in my heart, I would think, you know, about that song as we sang it. And, you know, in times past, I wasn't always as surrendered to do what God would have us do, have me do whatever he'd have me do as I ought to have been. But when it comes to the mission field, the Lord just never let me forget about it. I mean, he dealt with me first time back in 99, just never let me forget about it. Just kept dealing with me from time to time about surrendering, about going, you know, wherever he'd have us go. I didn't tell you, but I want to tell you now, we started deputation back in May of last year, full-time, got on the road full-time when deputation got our motorhome back at the Friedman's house, and we got in that thing, loaded up in it, and left Beaufort, South Carolina, heading to Birmingham, Alabama, and stayed gone for 5 months. Came home and had some meetings locally a little bit, came home in November of last year. We were around 25%. As it stands right now, we're close, real close to 60%. And praise God. I mean, we were starting out, brethren. I mean, when I went over there, before we ever started on deputation, I went over there in July of 09, and I was there in Bulgaria, and I had gotten some figures up and, you know, trying to come up to some amount that we might would need to go over there as missionaries. It's more expensive there to live. And, you know, here we are in a recession, and, you know, they say we're in a recession here, and I guess maybe we are. But we're in this recession, there's hard times now, and people are out of work and so forth. And this brother that I was staying with, he gave me this book to read. It's called I Must Tell, written by a man named James Stewart. And he preached in Bulgaria many, many years ago, Hungary and different places there in Europe. And I was reading that book, and I just set it down and went and got a bunch of figures together as far as how much we'd need a month to be missionaries. I got all that all totaled up, and it was a lot of money. It was a lot of money. And I was discouraged by it. I was really down, thinking, how in the world are we supposed to do something like that, raise that kind of money in the time in which we live, and go over there as missionaries? And I sat down and opened that book. It's just something the Lord gave me, just something, a little something he did to strengthen me, to help me, and settle my heart and mind. As soon as I opened that book, these words just kind of jumped out at me. It said this right here. We need not fear the consequences when we step out and obey him. He will meet every need. And look here. Now we're at 50 or 60, nearly 60% of the money we're trying to raise to get to Bulgaria. Listen, God's able to bring it in. You're already doing a lot for missionaries. And I mean this with all my heart. If you never take us on for support, we're grateful for you all and for what you do already as it stands right now, for what you do to send missionaries out across this world and Bulgaria and all over this world and promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank the Lord for you. And I hope that, you know, someday as the Lord leads, if you so desire, that you try to help us too get over there. But we sure are glad for what you do already. Exodus chapter 19, we'll turn there first. I'd like to preach on tonight for a few minutes, and it won't be that long. I ain't no long-winded preacher. I don't normally preach 30 minutes, about 30, 40 minutes, something like that. But I do want to try to give you something from God's Word and try to encourage you. I ain't got many mission man messages, to be honest with you. I mean, I just try to get something to encourage the brethren, try to stir you up, provoke you, put a little fire under you, you know, make you get you a little convicted about not doing nothing, or maybe comfort you about what you are doing. I want to be a help. I really do. I want to be a help as we go across, go around this country. We've been to over 135 churches now since we started. And my goal is to stir you up, provoke you, encourage you, exhort you, in that lines. And if you be the member of this local church that God would have you be, and the member of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would have you be, you're going to give the missions. You ain't going to help but give the missions. It's going to swell up inside of you. And you're going to be either a goer or you're going to be a giver. It's just going to come natural. And I just want to exhort you tonight, encourage you, try to help you in some way. But preaching on tonight, the message tonight will be being peculiar. Being peculiar. I looked up that word. It says appropriate, belonging to a person or to him only. Almost every writer has a peculiar style. You know, your pastor writes. I got some books. I'm looking forward to reading them things. He's got a peculiar style to him when he writes, and everybody does. Singular, particular. The man has something peculiar in his department. Particular, special. That's what it means. Verses. I told you to go to chapter 19 of Exodus. I'll read a few verses here. In Exodus chapter 19, it says here in verse 5. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. How about this in Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 6, it says this, therefore thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways and to fear him, for the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land, a land of brooks of water and of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys. That's not the verse I wanted. Deuteronomy chapter 7, oh, I was in chapter 8, I'm sorry. Chapter 7, that would help. If you get the right chapter, man, you just get the right chapter, it might help you out a little bit. It says right here in chapter 7, verse 6, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself, above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And then I'll go to this Go to chapter 14. Chapter 14 of Deuteronomy. Chapter 14 in verse 2. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. I got a verse written down here in Psalms. Psalms chapter 135, I believe it is. Psalms 135. Verse 4, for the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto himself in Israel for his peculiar treasure. You know, all these Old Testament references is to Israel, doctrinally, and they were to be that example in this world of the true God of heaven. But guess what? Now, that privilege, that honor, that responsibility, that obligation has been placed upon us, the New Testament church. God's heart's always been on the world. It was in the Old Testament, God's heart's upon that world, upon this world, that Israel will be that peculiar people, zealous of good works, giving the world an example of the true people who follow the true God, and we have that responsibility now. God's heart's still on the world, and he desires to use us to be the example for this world. Titus chapter 2, it says this in verse 14, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Zealous, it means with passionate ardor, with eagerness. It's a priority. A mission, a goal in life to give this, a goal in life to give ourselves in total subjection to the Lord Jesus Christ. Until he comes. 1 Peter chapter 2. I'm just reading a few verses here. And didn't try to bring out a few points for us tonight. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, we're different, amen? I mean, everything about us ought to be different in this world. I mean, our goals, our desires, our purposes, our life, the way we dress, the things we listen to, the things we watch with our eyes, the places we go. I mean, God has saved us and redeemed us. I'm thinking about this subject, as far as being peculiar. You know, point number one, I know this right here, that our birth is peculiar. Our birth is peculiar. That second birth is peculiar. It's different from that fleshly, this carnal birth. We got it. But Romans chapter 1, verse 28, it says this right here. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteous fornication, wickedness, covetous, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that love it. But it says of us right here, but for chapter 2, verse 28, for he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. I tell you, our birth is peculiar. When it comes to that spiritual birth, I mean, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Our peculiar is different from that carnal birth. God does a work in our lives to make us peculiar, make us special and different from the rest of this world. That new creature. I think I quoted that verse already. That's one of my favorite verses. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's the way our life ought to be. Amen. That's the way we ought to walk. As you have, therefore, received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. It produces that birth. It produces some peculiarity in our lives. How about this? Our blessings. Point number two, our blessing, the things that God has promised to us. I'll go here in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Now I say, verse 1, that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage of the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth a Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. You know, God gives us certain things. He gives us blessings in this life. I mean, there's so much consolation in knowing Christ as our Savior. I mean, this world, they're longing for, you know, they're longing for physical well-being. Want to be healthy, want to be people in this world, they want to be rich, want to have wealth, they want to have health, and they want to be famous a lot of times in this world. People want those things. I mean, we as Christians, someday we're never going to have to worry about health. We ain't never going to have to worry about health whatsoever, never again. This dear lady you're talking about tonight, here she is old, her health is failing, she's soon to leave this world, but when she passes into the next life, the blessings that God has given her, man, she ain't never going to fear, she ain't never going to have to worry about her health anymore. She'd be better than us. I mean, when she leaves this world, she'd be better off than the youngest person in here, the most healthiest person in here. And that wealth, I mean, God said we're going to inherit all things. All things. We can do without a few things in this world, man. We can put those pleasures aside, and we can put our attention toward the things of heaven now, and we can sacrifice some things of this world and put our attention, put our money. We can put our investments in heavenly things and not so much in the things of this world, because one day we're going to inherit all things. We ain't got to have it all right now. We're going to get it all later. And when it comes to fame, I mean, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to, He's going to profess us before His Father and before the holy angels. I mean, what more fame could you have there if the Creator of the universe says He knows you? What better fame that there could be than that? I thought about this verse, chapter Proverbs chapter 15, verse 8. The sacrifices of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord, but the prayer of the upright is His delight. God, our Lord, He promised us to never leave us nor forsake us. Our blessings are peculiar in this world. And we want other people to have those same things. They can. We got to get out and tell them, though. We got to get out. We got to make some sacrifice. We got to take some time to pray and seek God. We got to put things aside of this world. Like the preacher said, maybe we need to counsel some of those activities in this world that we might as a family go out and preach God's word. Might go out and preach that gospel. That's what's really going to matter in the long run. How about this? Not only is our birth peculiar, not only is our blessings peculiar because of promises of Almighty God to us, but our behavior. I already mentioned it some, but our behavior it ought to be peculiar in this world in which we live. How about this? Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. Just a few verses here to drive home these points here. This is a faithful saying, verse 8, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Affirm constantly. I mean, it's that needful that we would affirm constantly that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Whether or not this world will profess it openly or not, they need a good example. They need to know of a church in Eden here that where some people are that are sincere, that where some people here who are sold out and some people here are behaving themselves as God would have them to. I mean, whether or not this world will admit it or not, they need a good sound example of what real Christianity is. And who's going to give it but us? I mean, we got to give it to them. We got to give them that example. Our behavior ought to be peculiar in this world. We know this, Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. We know we got to talking to the men during the men's Bible study this evening, and we know that in us, in this flesh, we're gonna have trouble, gonna have struggles, but that's no excuse not to do right. Amen. That's no excuse not to put this body in subjection to the will of God. Sometimes men want to use that as an excuse. Oh, I'm a sinner. You know, I'm not perfect. That's not an excuse not to do what's right. That's not an excuse for our behavior not to be peculiar, not to be different than this lost world. He says this in chapter 7, verse 18, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would do, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me." He says, "I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present in me, with me, present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Amen. We got to get that in. We got to get to that inward man, not the flesh. Can't be walking in the flesh all the time. Our behavior needs to be peculiar. Our behavior needs to be as Christians that God saved us to be, all the time, all the time. Like to say, lastly, I'd like to say this right here. Not only is our birth peculiar, because we've been born again of the good grace of God. Our blessings, our behavior, but our burden's different too. This world, they have their burdens, they have their programs, they have their charitable organizations, they have their AAs, but our burdens are different. Our burden is to get the gospel out. Our gospel, what other subject in the Bible is more talked about than that? Preaching the gospel to every creature. There's three words in preach. Preach, reach, and each. Every soul for Christ. Three words in the word preach. It's our obligation, our responsibility to reach the lost for our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll just go here. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28. It says, verse 18, "Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. God is not going to forget us. You got this man, Harold Camping, trying to come up with dates. You know, when Jesus Christ is supposed to come back, he didn't have it right May 21st or 22nd or whatever it was. It won't be right in October or whenever, any other date that he says the Lord's coming back. But our Lord will return. He will return. He'll return right on time. We ain't got to worry about that. Our Lord has told us to occupy till he comes. He has told us to be faithful. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And that's our goal. That's our duty. That's our duty, just to remain faithful, just to keep coming to church, just to keep reading our Bible, just to keep praying, just to keep preaching, and just to keep being peculiar in these last days. I mean, this day and time in which we live, I mean, wickedness is prevailing. We are living in perilous time. Perilous time shall come. We in it. We're in the thicket of it. Here we are in the middle of 2011. How much longer is it going to be? How much worse is it going to be before the Lord comes back? We don't know. But Noah, the Bible says that as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. I mean, here Noah, he lived in a time where wickedness was prevailing, and men with men, women with women, and all kind of other ungodliness, so much to the point that God said it repented him that he made man upon earth. Every imagination of his heart was only evil continually, and yet Noah walked with God. Noah walked with God and saved his house. I mean, got on that boat, got on that ark, and saved himself and his whole family. Listen, we ain't no excuse, ain't no reason why we can't end up like Noah too. That we can't just keep being peculiar, keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, just keep living for God, just keep being the example that God would have us be until he comes back. Until he comes back. Brother, that's all I got. I just wanted to share with the brethren tonight and, try to encourage us all to be the people that God saved us to be. That's just simply that. If we'll just be the people that God saved us to be and seek the place that God would have us be. I mean, the pastor, he don't want to see any of you leave necessarily and go to a mission field, but if God would touch you, if you'd allow him to speak to you and deal with you about maybe going to a mission field someday, he'd be happy for that. Our pastor, he wasn't so excited to hear that we were leaving. I mean, we took care of the missions. Missy played the piano full time. You got any grass cutters? I mowed the grass at our church. That's what I did. I mean, from the time that I got saved, I started mowing the grass at our church. That's a needful thing, man. You need people who will commit to mowing the grass. People who will commit to cleaning the bathrooms. People that'll commit to this little church right here. And be committed to live for God, live for the Lord until he comes back. But my pastor, he's glad we're going. He's glad we're going because we're just submitted to the Lord. That's all. And that's all God expects any of us to do is just submit ourselves to him and seek his leading, seek his guiding. Thank you, brethren, for allowing us to come. It's been a joy of ours to be here with you for a little while and just give you our testimony, how the Lord's dealt with us about going to Bulgaria. We covered your prayers. It's a wicked place. Brother Malucci told me, he said, listen, don't ever let anybody tell you people not being saved over here. He said, this is a wicked, depressing place. That's what he wrote me and said. Yeah, but he said, people still getting saved. And God still wants missionaries over there, evidently. Thank you. It's been a blessing.
Thank you. All right, that's powerful prayer.